So Happy New Year. It's hard to predict what the new year will bring. For example, how do we predict who's going to win the Super Bowl? It's down to 10 teams now, so you get 1 out of 10 chance of predicting who that might be. I was thinking that maybe it'd be best if the Packers did in fact play the Vikings today, then at least one of them would win. They both might. I don't know. I'm just saying. Or you can try to predict who's going to win the World Series. I'm thinking of my hometown San Francisco Giants. Being that they won in 2010 and again in 2012 and again in 2014. That there's a lot of talk about 2016. There's a big political election this year. It's hard to predict what will happen with the political climate and all the things that is taking place that I kind of scratch my head at. And then also, for example, there's the weather. We have this El Nino effect. They talk about what that might mean, but they really can't predict what's going to happen. They have some ideas and some clues and some thoughts. But yet, it's yet to be seen. It's hard to predict the weather. And so then, as we look ahead to the year, can we really predict what's going to happen? John the Baptist wasn't really about predicting, but he was coming to share a message. He couldn't predict what was to come, but he was a herald. He was a messenger. The message that John shares is not the gospel, not in the terms in which we would think of it. There is no way that John would have known how Jesus would embody the Messiah. John wouldn't know Jesus' understanding of what it would mean to be the Christ. John's expectations probably more likely reflected those of Jesus' own disciples who struggled with this idea of exactly what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah and how Jesus lived that out. Surely none of them had foreseen Jesus' death or that being a means for our salvation. John had his questions as well. He sent his own disciples to Jesus at one time with the question, are you indeed the one? Are you him? But we are told that John proclaimed good news. Good news to the people. Ultimately, his message was full of promise. And the promise begins with the baptism of Jesus. Have you ever looked at what John's message was? God had chosen to act through the people of Israel. They were descendants of Abraham. For 2,000 years, they had held on to the covenant promise that had been passed along from generation to generation. No matter how and in which ways the people of Israel may have failed, God remained faithful to them through His covenant and renewed that covenant time after time after time again. But being chosen by God, the people of Israel were given a task. That was to make their God, the God of Israel, known to all the world. And John felt that God would evaluate the people of Israel differently than other nations. They have different expectations, of course. And John warned against their self-satisfaction, of resting on favored nation status. Yes, they were God's people, but they held no higher privilege than any other people, because God's goal through them was to unite and bring people together, join with one another, in knowing the one true God. John's message was indeed, you are God's people. You are God's chosen. So now, act like it. Act like it. I remember with our children growing up, they would often exhibit some behavior that we thought that they had outgrown. You know how that is, right? You say to them, "You're 5 years old now. Quit acting like a 3-year-old." We had high expectations. And children would make mistakes. But as they grew older, each and every year, you know how they want more and more independence. They want more and more freedom. So we called upon them to act as though they could handle it. Act like it, you can have it. We'd give them extra responsibility. So we told them, act like someone who could handle it. And so there were these expectations and ideas and thoughts of behaviors and actions, how they would live. John calls the people of Israel to the Jordan River. And there he enacts a cleansing, a washing ritual, a sense of renewal. It was acts of preparation to make ready. That was accompanied by his declaration of coming fulfillment of what was to take place. They were to recommit as God's covenant people and therefore show it, act like it. John and his message unites all people together, all diverse groups from Israel and beyond, that all were falling under God's eye. And all should hold some concern for their salvation. But with his words of reproof, his call to repentance and recommit, there is also his message of hope, of the one who is coming, the one who is coming, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, a refiner's fire, a purifying fire that will form you anew. He will take the chaff and burn it. All the old practices and old ways will be done with. And will begin anew. And with this was the expectation then of bearing good fruit. John's guidelines were really quite simple. His guidelines to the people, what his message carried. Share with one another, he would say. You should not have too much when others have too little. Take the appropriate actions so that there would be justice. Serve God in your daily setting, whatever that might be. He told this to the tax collector and to the soldier. Do your jobs as they should be done. He challenged the abuses of his day and called for change. John's message was to be a people of goodness and of service and of compassion and care to one's neighbor. That same message should resonate with all of us. We are recipients of God's new covenant, with which we have been blessed, but also the calling to bear good fruit, to be a people of giving, of goodness. That may mean something different for all of us, but we're all to reflect upon that for us individually, to ask what that means in our daily lives. How are we to live out that calling in being God's people. As Jesus arrives at the river, He enters the water Himself. Some people often ask, but why is Jesus being baptized? He does so to identify with the people of Israel. He shares with them their own baptism, as John has called them. There is a solidarity. There is a unity. There is a joining with them in that He understands their challenges and their struggles and their hardships. He will now join with them on their journey. At the end of the Exodus, the Hebrew people came to the River Jordan, and that was the last barrier that they crossed in order to enter the Promised Land. And now as they enter the waters of the Jordan once again, they emerge from it into a new land and a new era and a new time and a new kingdom. We are God's people. We live with the covenant promise. Jesus calls to us as His disciples, "Follow me. Follow me, you that are chosen. You that are blessed. You that are filled with grace and forgiveness, God's people. Follow me, and I will teach you to act like it." Amen.